Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the perfect indie game podcast, All the Small Games. I am your perfect host, Andrew Levins, and joining me, perfect co-host, John Valenzuela.
Oh, it's too immaculate in here today, man. It's just amazing.
It's beautiful. Hey, we're an indie game podcast, and every week we talk about indie games that we've been playing, and baby, I've been playing a whole bunch. I want to talk this week about a game in which you play a frog. The game is called Dojoran. I talked about it a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to talk about it again. I also want to talk about Tales of Iron, in which you play a rat, and another one called Benito Days.
Benito Days.
In which you play a fish. So lots of animals today. And what better game to kick off my discussion than a big update on Zookeeper World?
Ooh. Hit us. Well, come on. You can't tease us like that. Give it to us.
All right. We're going straight into it.
How's the addiction?
Straight in. Well, I mean, the addiction is I got a notification. I did the 250th level of Zookeeper World, a game which I have been playing on Apple Arcade. It's an Apple Arcade exclusive. It's a match three puzzle game in which you play a zookeeper who has to match different colored animals. There's 250 puzzles. I finished the 250th puzzle and I got a notification as I did so. That let me know that that's it. You did it. It said, max stage reached. New puzzle stages coming soon. Until then, finish all requests and collect stars. So,
have you gotten all the stars?
God, no. I mean, that said, of 250, I think I have 30 left to get.
Okay.
But you get a star by hitting a certain threshold of points when you complete the level.
Money earned.
Man. Some of them are so difficult, but whatever. As far as I'm concerned, I've beaten Zookeeper World as best as I can, and now it is just pick it up, see if I can beat one of the get a star or two. I can be a normal human again because it was really fucking my life up.
That's the fun thing about addictions is when you finish them. Like, don't you love it when you get that message that's like, you beat cocaine?
Yeah, you've done all the heroin.
Yeah,
come back.
Stick
soon.
Around and try and get stars. No, that's awesome. Like, what a 250 levels, man. That's big.
Yeah, and like, it's weird. I thought this would be maybe because it's on Apple Arcade, it isn't kind of taking the world by storm. But barely anyone's talking about it online, or there's no like develop. I would love a developer account that will just letting me know what's going to be in future updates, which animals I'm going to be able to buy for my zoo. Weird obstacles I'm going to have to overcome within the puzzles. But I found it very satisfying and hopelessly addicting. So Zookeeper World, done and dusted. Game of the year, 2021.
The last time I checked in, you had gotten up to levels that were including mud.
Mud?
Bees? Did they throw any...
Bees?
Oh, bees? Bees?
Bees? bees, you have to like get all the bees out of the hive. Then there was something else. Oh yeah, tree stumps. They'll fuck you up.
Wow.
Those tree stumps.
Okay.
And then conveyor belts. That was the bane of my existence. The hardest levels all have conveyor belts in them.
Yeah, conveyor belts. I got up to some of the ones with conveyor belts and it definitely like you started having to think a couple of moves in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And like, then, oh, I won't pop those because the conveyor belt will move some things into like a better position.
Exactly.
And,
yeah,
et cetera. Yeah.
And then they
but inevitably throw... I forgot to do that and would screw up.
Yeah,
every, in the last every attempt.
God damn it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And they'll give you like some animals will be locked in a cage. So you have to clear the cage first before you can clear the animal. But then they double lock the cage and then they put a cage over the cage. Or they put they put one on the bottle and then they put a bandage over the bottle and then another bandage. So you have to clear something four times before you actually remove it from the screen. Yeah, they really they're crafty over there at Zookeeper World.
They really are. But yeah, huge. I wonder when they're going to when they're going to have the new levels out. Do you think will you dive back in again?
Yeah,
do you
think I mean
the time off soften the addiction?
Well, I love that. Like maybe every month they'll get 50 new levels or something. Like I hope that's what the plan is. Because yeah, like churning through 50 Zookeeper levels a month is totally doable and fun.
I just like the idea of the developers sitting in a room with a whiteboard. And it's got stuff written on it like
just weird habits.
Cage the bees? Question mark.
Quicksand.
yeah.
Give the animals weapons.
Yes, 100%. That would be wild, actually. If like some of them have guns, do not activate them. Yeah. So you've got Tales of Iron, Dodgeran. Benito days.
So yeah, like I said, fish, frog, and rats. I am the zookeeper, even after mastering the game.
I have been playing the relatively freshly released fourth episode of The Long Dark.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be getting into that, and I have a bonus surprise game that I will reveal when the time comes, Levens.
Okay.
So. I'm trying to think if I've got any like little updates. I'm very sad to say my Sable play has come to an absolute stop. So basically I like same as you, I kind of jumped back into it and was like I finished the Ecria kind of, you know, the few quests, finished playing hide and seek, decided that it was the woman running the merchant's guild that did the sabotage, etc. And I was like, right, let's get back out in that desert. Let's keep exploring. Set my sights on like a little round structure near Ecria. I was like, that's definitely not natural. It's got to be Mad Mane. Let's take a look. Turns out it's a well. Did you go down the well?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. So I was working my way through the well and then had to stop playing because I needed to go help Joe with a feed or something like that. So I'm like, cool. I'm looking forward to coming back to this later. Started my Xbox up, jumped back into the game again. Controls weren't working. I'm like, okay, this sucks. Quit the game, load it up again. Can navigate around the main menu. Controls working there. Load up my save. Controls not working. Restart my whole Xbox. Run through the whole thing again. Controls not working. Plug the control into my Xbox. Control not working. I'm thinking like, okay, I'll try starting a new game and see if that, like, if the new game has the control issue as well.
If it's that damn well's fault.
Yeah, if it, like, what, you know, is it my save game? Is it the game? What's going on? If I start a new game, it will erase my previous save.
Really?
And so I'm just like, I honestly don't, you know, I don't have the time these days to go back to the beginning of a game and start completely again. So I couldn't find anywhere to report bugs for it. So I'm kind of just like, right, I guess I'm not playing Sable anymore.
Yeah, right.
Which is a bummer because I was like, absolute, like, I've never played a game that I'm trying hard to love it and it's trying hard to stop me from loving it.
Yeah, yeah, I know. That's real, real crazy. It's such an annoying experience. I'm like Googling now.
I looked it up it's and
like a, yeah, patch. I don't know.
All the like, because I was looking like, you know, Sable Xbox controller not working, and it's all people playing on PC.
Yes.
Talking about like, oh yeah, you need to patch this driver and do this and do that and do the other, and I'm like, nope, none of that works for me, guys. This is you know, I'm just I don't want to hit up the developer again because last time I hit up a developer with a bug, it didn't turn out great for me and I had to do a public apology on the podcast.
I mean, I loved
it. But yeah, Imagine they message me back and they're like, nope, that's how it's supposed to go.
Yeah, yeah.
You finished the game.
You went down the well. That's what happens.
Yeah. So I think it's one of those things where I'm just going to leave it for like a month and hopefully when I come back they've patched something or done something and things will be working again.
That's such a bogus thing. Can you access... Can you play it on your PC? Like, put Game Pass on there and connect your controller?
I guess I can try. I don't have Game Pass Plus, though.
Right.
Oh, wait. No, I don't have...
know what that is.
What is it? Gold Ultimate or something?
Because
like, the one that does it for your PC as well. I should check when my gold's going to run out now that I think about it.
Great sentence to say without the context of knowing you're talking about a gaming service.
Exactly. Excuse me while I ruminate out loud on a podcast. But anyway, so bummer about Sable, but you know, I if anything, it frees me up to play other games. God knows I really want to finish Psychonauts 2, and there are still so many goddamn games to get through before the end of the year.
Yeah, I've noticed getting the notifications about the Xbox being on. I don't know if it's you playing music on it using the Spotify or whatever.
Yeah, that'd be Joe at home.
Okay, right. Is he playing? What's he getting up to?
Putting on music for the baby and stuff like. Maybe I need another Xbox, one for each of us.
I have a night alone tomorrow night while B goes out to dinner, so I think I'm going to try and clock Sable tomorrow night, which is exciting.
Nice.
Hopefully, my controller still works.
You can
just stay away from that damn well.
You can clock Sable at any time. You have the
you
have
know
the
what kind of clocking I'm talking, and the baby. Masks.
Oh damn!
Yeah, 100%
that big one. Yep. 100.
Pick an animal, John, any animal, frog, or so any animal, so long as it is a frog, a rat, or a fish.
A fish. Look, you know what? Tails Vian. I'm curious as hell. So let's do rat.
Okay. This is an early impression because I've only played like the first hour and a half of Tales of Iron, a game in which, you play the son, the youngest, smallest son of the Rat King, Rattus, King Rattus, who for many years you've been locked in battle with the frogs. And many years ago, your dad smited the Frog King. And now, as your dad is like old and not good at combat, he sits atop his throne and the frog is back, badder and more evil than ever, and you have to basically avenge your father and save your rat people. It's like an RPG adventure game that was made by Odd Bug Studio, and it's been published by United Label and CI Games. I think these are the same guys that gave us another, because everyone is talking about this one being you know, similar to like a Dark Souls-esque kind of game. And these guys also published Eldest Souls earlier this year. Another game which I need to try and get to before the year is over. So this is a beautifully animated game. It looks like a children's storybook if the children's storybook was like disgustingly gory and depicted many, many gruesome battles between frogs and rats. I'm a bit annoyed that they chose Frog as the villain when toads are clearly the more villainous amphibians.
Of course,
that's the end of my gripes in that regard. As far as design and appeal, I think it's a beautiful looking game. Now the combat is very much there's like three kinds of attacks that your enemies who are much, you know, kind of who have bigger weapons than you, but as a small rat, you can kind of dodge between them. There's some attacks that can only be dodged past. There is one that needs to be parried. And then there's one that you just need to stay the hell away from. And yeah, I am like, I'm pretty sure it's Zookeeper's fault. My potato brain is not dealing with, I'm not understanding the parrying very well. I love a dodge roll in a game, but I can't say I can think of that many games where I mastered the parrying, and I'm having a lot of trouble with this.
I've always sucked at parrying in games. The timing fucks me up every time.
This one, yeah, like it flags that the parryable attack is coming. They're quite clear with like a little like kind of alert will come above the enemy's head before it makes a certain attack. That's really helpful. But the timing of the attack itself, you can't just see the thing and then immediately hold your shield up and it will parry. You have to wait for the attack to get near you. And sometimes they like hold a little bit. Then they like it's very. I don't know. I can't get the timing right, which is a bit frustrating. I am currently on a, like, it's not even like a main boss. It's just a powerful frog enemy with a spear. But as you, like, as you make your way through the different parts of town that you got, you're traveling through, you'll find like the corpses of your friends or your the corpses of your enemies, and you like search their bodies for things that you can use, be they arrows, which for, I don't have a bow yet, but I'm collecting lots of arrows. And like you have, similar to Hollow Knight, you have like you hold down a button to heal yourself, but in this case you are drinking bug juice, which you get from bugs. And that's what gets you health.
That seems like more of a frog thing than a rat thing.
Yeah, the rats eat. But I mean, rats eat anything, don't they?
Yeah, that's fair.
Rat listeners, let us know. Do you eat anything?
Yeah.
But so you come across a lot of weapons, and at the moment I have a pretty weak sword. I didn't realize that when you come across weapons, there's two options. One of them is store, which you just put it like in your inventory, or there is equip. I just got a spear, and I just said store, and now I'm going up against a frog that has a big spear, and God, I would love a little bit of extra range to get him down, because I'm not having a great time parrying his attacks, but I can dodge the dodgeable ones. It's just the parrying is getting me every time. Maybe like 1 out of 10 attacks I can parry successfully, but I know that if I had this sword, this spear, I would be able to, you know, hopefully, in theory, get past this boss a bit easier. But you can't just pause and change your weapon, or at least I'm doing it. Okay. Or maybe I'm doing it wrong. I think you need to find like a weapon box, and then that opens up your inventory and you can load out different weapons.
So it's like Bastion with the armory, where you need to find
points in
each map to switch your weapons.
Exactly.
Out.
Okay. But I can't find a single point. And I really want to, like, you know, I've died to this boss a few times. I want to try it with a different weapon, and I have no idea what to do to get that weapon, which is very annoying.
Frustrating.
But it's beautifully presented. You mentioned Bastion. This game is narrated by a gravelly-voiced man, and it adds a lot of atmosphere to this game. There's a lot to love about this game. I'm sure I'm going to, like, play this game for, like, 5 minutes later today, get past this frog, and be like, next week, be like, oh, it's really, really great. It opened up, and I understand the combat now. Or I'll just suck at it forever and have to move on to a different game. Those are the only options. Yeah.
So it's, like, it's a side-scroller, right?
Yeah, like a side-scrolling, like, adventure game. It's not quite a Metroidvania. You kind of travel between different left-to-right platforming areas. The attacks are mapped to the triggers on each side.
Oh, okay.
As opposed to the keys. So you block with the left one, you parry with the left one, and you attack with the right one. At some point I'm going to get a bow and arrow and some other attacks like that. So I'm looking forward to the combat to open up, but I guess I should master the basics first before I want for more.
Yeah, the little bit I've seen of it, I think it reminds me mechanically of like Salt and Sanctuary.
Yeah, a lot of people compare it to that in the reviews. You finished that game, right?
I did.
I mean, that game's very reliant on parrying, isn't it?
To a certain extent. Like, I think I dodge rolled most of that stuff.
Yeah.
God bless the dodge roll.
I love a dodge roll.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about what my favorite game of the year is. Is it Metroid Dread or is it Death's Door? And I've been thinking about that dodge roll in Death's Door, which I think is like one of my favorite dodges in a game ever.
Thinking about those dodge rolls.
Those dodging. That is Tales of Iron, which I believe is available on everything. PlayStation, PC, Xbox, Switch. Everything.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I was very excited to see the news recently that episode 4 of The Long Dark was making its way to all platforms that it was on.
Mm-hmm.
As a free update. This is not DLC. If you buy the full game, you get all the episodes that are coming out. I think it's the second last episode. So The Long Dark, I've talked about The Long Dark a couple of times on this podcast. I still hold the opinion that it's like one of the most underrated games around. The Long Dark is essentially a survival simulator. It's first person. And there's a kind of a story mode, or there's an endless mode where you essentially are just dropped in the wilderness and you have to survive. I've just been playing the story mode. It's a very slow, kind of measured game. It's not like you're not racing, you're not sprinting around a map. Whenever you're outside, it is you're in a snowy environment, so it's just a lot of like trudging along these snowy fields. But it is by no means like that. That description makes it sound boring as hell. It's by no means boring because you are the constantly having to, you are constantly having to make these decisions of like, I heard a wolf howl. I'm scanning the horizon looking for wolves. Am I following the map correctly? Ooh, if I cut over there, will I shave a bit of time off this journey? Oh shit, I'm about to freeze. Is there somewhere I can set up a fire and kind of restore my warmth for a little bit? And while I'm there, I'll be able to do these tasks, etc., etc., etc. So the fourth episode has much the same gameplay that has been seen in the last couple. I think they've added crouching as a new mechanic, which they use. You know, there's one section of this chapter where you're exploring a mine and there's a lot of like crouching through low tunnels. In terms of adding animals, one of the big ones I've noticed is they now have moose in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I was in one region of the map and was like, hell yeah, there's a moose over there. I'm going to take that moose down. I better get like a ton of meat off that thing and maybe something cool as well. And it's probably going to be like a deer. Like those things just run away when they're spooked by you. Nope. I shot this thing once. It lowered its head and ran at me. And next thing I know, I am on the ground and a little cutscene is playing from a first person perspective of a moose just stomping the shit out of me.
That's great.
And I was like, whoa, okay, cool. You know, you get attacked by a bear and it's like, you've got lacerations on your hand. The moose was just like, you have broken ribs now. And I'm like, oh, I'm not coming back from that one. I will admit, I do save scum a fair bit in this game of like, oh, there's wolves ahead. I'll save my game here. And if I don't navigate through this section perfectly, I'll just reload my game. Because like, animal attacks will like not only cause medical issues like cuts and infections and stuff, but it also destroys your gear as well. And right, that can be frustrating because it makes it harder to stay warm. Story-wise, the overarching like the overarching story of the game is you play a guy called Mackenzie, who is a bush pilot who was hired by his ex-wife to deliver her to a sort of very remote snowy region. And while you are in the air, this massive aurora appears in the sky. And basically anything that involves electromagnetics gets fried and you crash your plane. And when you wake up, your wife has disappeared. And all you have is a hard case that she was carrying that she was like, I desperately need to get this to a certain, like the destination. You then set off to try find your wife again. Along the way, you run into people. You kind of learn about a little bit about what's happening, but it's still very mysterious. That's the first and second chapter. The third chapter, you actually play as your wife. But at the end of the second chapter, Mackenzie is, after making his way through like a dam, a switched off hydroelectric dam, he gets captured by an escaped prisoner called Mathis. So episode 3 starts with Mathis kind of hauling you back to the prison that he escaped from, which he and his fellow inmates are like using as a base of operations.
Huh.
And you find out that they are, the reason they're in this prison is because Mathis wants to break his son out of solitary. And everybody that you talk to about his son is like, this guy is a goddamn evil psychopath. You cannot let him get out of solitary, essentially. But this Mathis guy has the warden held hostage and basically is like, you do what I say or I will kill the warden and his death will be on your head. So you then have to set off into the first mission you kind of get is he beats the warden to within an inch of his life. You need to go out and find medicine to get to heal the warden essentially. And then it's this series of like, okay, well now like you need to go to the local power plant and work out why the power isn't working and why we can't open the solitary doors. And the whole time you're doing this, there is a mysterious woman who is contacting you over the phone and being like, you cannot help these guys achieve their ends. It's not really like there's no real choice you're presented throughout. There's never any like you can choose to help or you can choose not to help. You're just kind of doing what you're doing to advance the narrative.
You can choose to survive a moose attack or die by a moose attack.
Or save scum the moose attack, which I did. There was one, I'm not sure if it was a glitch, but there was one funny instance where like the moose was hanging around on a lake, and there's a little cabin that I'd kind of set up base camp in. And I sort of went to the cabin, had a nap, woke up when it was evening, stepped outside, and suddenly the moose just like ran and trampled me. And I was like, where the fuck did you come from? What the hell was that? Anyway, I'm now up to the, like, I've reached the point where it's telling me, like, hey, if there are any side quests that you haven't finished, make sure you finish them now, kind of thing.
Hmm.
So I think, like, the good thing is you only trigger the next mission by going to a certain door within the prison. So I'm now going to spend a little bit of time just making my way around the map, clearing up any loose ends that I have to clear up, just because, like, I just find it so much fun to, like I said, be moving through this harsh landscape, making these little decisions constantly. Like, even though it's just 5 minutes of me trudging, like, the sight of a cabin in the distance is like, yes, I just got to get over there, and there'll be loot in there that might be useful to me, and I can warm up, and I can eat, and I can do this, and I can do that. Like, it's gameplay that is built on these little moments of triumph that just, when combined together, feel like it's just this continual good feeling of, hey, I found a better coat than the one I'm wearing in this car that I found stalled along the side of the road. Like, just all these little moments that combine together to just make it this rolling kind of wave of small triumph. I 1,000% get that this is not a game for everybody, but if it sounds like the kind of thing you like, I definitely recommend going in on it.
It's like a lot of like ex BioWare stuff, like from like the development to like the voice actors and stuff, right? Like,
I believe so, yeah. So it's developed by a team called Hinterland Studio.
Mm-hmm.
And no info on publishing. It's out on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Mac, Switch, Linux, Windows. You know, you can get it everywhere. And like I said, it's you know, you get each of these chapters as they come out for free. They even went back, like, it was frustrating waiting for a while because I was waiting for chapter 3 to drop, and they were like, actually, we just went back and completely reworked chapters 1 and 2 to, like, smooth out gameplay and stuff. And I was like, thanks. But yeah, there's one more chapter left to go, and I just think, you know, it's, you'll have, like, there's probably about 20 hours of gameplay playing through the first four chapters.
Awesome.
So might as well go in on it.
You're playing it on Switch?
I am playing it on Switch, yes.
Yeah, cool.
But I believe it is on Game Pass.
Oh, interesting.
If you are that way inclined. It was actually, weirdly enough, like the first time I met Joel and Jackson, and Joel from, or who was it?
Zamet and Jackson, yep.
Zamet and Jackson, yeah. The first time I met Zamet and Jackson, I think I'd been listening to a couple of Thumb Cramps eps beforehand. And so I was like, oh, hey, yeah, I'm John, you're this, you're that, yeah. So which one of you's playing The Long Dark? And, like, that was my kind of icebreaker of just being like, yeah, what a great game, huh, et cetera, et cetera. So I have a massive soft spot for The Long Dark. I'm a big fan.
Awesome. So good. So that's The Long Dark. And now, John, after we hear a quick word from our sponsors.
Of course.
We're gonna play Which Animal?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Thank you, sponsors. John, frog or fish?
Rat again. No. Okay. Let's go with, let's do fish.
Okay, cool. Fish. So we are talking about a little game called Bonito Days. Bonito Days is a game that's been developed by a two-person studio in the UK, which is called Studio Somewhere. And these guys love two things that I also love. That is the game Super Monkey Ball. Which I originally played the GameCube version on my Wii many years ago. You play a monkey in a ball and you move the courses around like a little labyrinth. You're moving the course as opposed to your character. Yeah. But there was a mode of that game, a party mode, like all these different mini games that you play besides the main campaign of Super Monkey Ball, where called Monkey Target. And basically, you are rolling your monkey all the way down a big ramp, and then it goes off a jump, flies through the air, you open the ball up, and then you glide and then land on the target back in ball form. And depending on, you know, you collect things in the sky, and you can land on, you know, targets, get the most points. It's, you know, a point-chasing thing. It was kind of like a lot of people's favorite thing about Monkey Ball, and it's been a mode that Sega has just like never really nailed since those initial games. And even the most recently released Super Monkey Ball Banana Mania, which I've been playing, the Monkey Target mode is not as well made. Even though it's like looks really good, it's been made in the redone in the Unity engine, it doesn't feel as good to play. The magic that people, a lot of reviews are just saying that like it doesn't feel right, and it's not right. the like, you know, crowd pleasing party game that it should be.
Not so Super Monkey Ball.
So Bonito Days clearly inspired by that mode, because the entire game of Bonito Days is just a take on Monkey Target. And they're also fans of one of my favorite genres of music, and that is from Japan, the music that I guess starts in like the 70s and 80s and is still made today, called City Pop, which is a very, very upbeat, smooth kind of like take on, I guess, like yacht rock or like soft rock from the Americas in the 70s and 80s. It's like the Japanese version of that, and it's like there are so many incredible gems in that massive genre of music in Japan, and I love like discovering new ones. So Bonito Days is a beautifully colored take on Monkey Target, and the entire thing is set to City Pop, this incredible City Pop soundtrack. To the point where I emailed the devs this morning, just because I had like two of the songs from the soundtrack in my head, and I was just like, please, can you tell me who did this soundtrack? And Adam from Studio Somewhere said that some majority of the soundtrack came from a Japanese music licensing company called Nash, and the remainder came from the Sport album by artist Louis Zong. So I don't know any of these things, so that's, which is very exciting, because now I get to do a whole bunch of research. It's, yeah, the songs in it are incredible. Do you remember the first time playing Katamari and just being, yes, like, and being like, this game is really fun and colorful, and most importantly, the songs are fucking amazing.
Yes,
I am getting the same vibe every time I start a new level. I get treated to a new song that will be stuck in my head for the next hour. It rules.
Amazing.
Now, how does it feel to play? The first few levels are very simple. You roll rolling your ball. So you're a fish in a ball, right? A bonito fish. That's
sure.
Yeah, bonito is fish in Japan, Japanese. So you're rolling your fish.
No, I think it's a type of fish.
Yes.
Like it's a tuna.
I know bonito.
Quickly.
Bonito flakes.
Bonito flakes, yeah.
Let's see. Bonito means... No, I don't. Okay, bonito in Spanish means nice.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to bring that one up, but hold on. I'm bonito. Yeah. Bonitos are a tribe of medium-sized ray-finned predatory fish in the family Scombridae, a family it shares with the mackerel, tuna, and Spanish mackerel.
Okay, there we go. Excellent.
Yeah.
So you play a tuna or a mackerel or any of those many delicious fish, and you're in a ball and you roll down a ramp and then you fly into the sky and you kind of jump out of the ball and you glide as the fish, but then you have to make sure you're back inside the ball to land on one of the targets. You're collecting little power-ups or points while you're flying through the sky, The first levels are quite simple, and you're going to need them to be simple because understanding the glide mechanism, there is like a one-page kind of tutorial they give you, but I was falling into the ocean a whole bunch and not getting any points on my first few goes as I figured out how the mechanics work. They're very tight once I did figure it out, and there's a lot you can do while you glide and roll. And the coolest thing about it, and I never saw this in a Monkey Target game on Monkey Ball, is that... yeah, the first few levels are quite basic. You know, just rolling, and then the areas you're gliding through are beautiful. But it's pretty simple. You just roll down the hill and start flying. But as you do more levels, like there's a phenomenal level where you start by rolling through like a Japanese town. You're on a rooftop, and you actually don't leave the ball for quite a while because you basically there's all these different areas that you can explore in ball form and get power-ups and points before you eventually find a hill to roll down, get some air and start gliding. Yeah, which is really fun. Like this is, there's, you really want to fuck around in each level for a long time, discover all the secrets and work on getting the highest score possible. I think this is like a game that it's pretty cheap. I think it's like $15 Australian, $10 US on the eShop. I'm playing it on Switch. But if you are not sold on the concept of rolling and gliding as like a fun mechanic, then that's all this game is offering to you. But I think it is offering a really, really cool take on this style of like arcade score chasing game. It looks beautiful, and that soundtrack is just one of the best I've ever heard. In fact, I've stopped putting songs from the games we talk about over as like the final part of our episode. So maybe I'll bring it back. Just that's how much I like the music in this game.
Ooh, damn. Okay. Yeah. Big.
Yeah, so it's Benito Days. I think it is on. I don't know what it's on. I'm gonna try and find it out.
Definitely on Switch.
Yeah, it's definitely on Switch, and just seeing what else. Well, yeah, I think it's only on Switch at this point.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, definitely check out Benito Days if you are a Monkey Ball fan, if you are a City Pop fan, and if you want something bright and colorful to play with a friend. It has split-screen multiplayer, which is very fun. And like Archie, my son, who is 7, is having trouble with it, but still likes everything enough to that like, you know, if he fails and doesn't get much points, he doesn't care because it was fun flying around and being a little bit better every time he tries.
Nice.
Yes, that's great. Benito Days. The fish Benito is covered. Is it time for my surprise yet, or do I have to talk about a frog first?
Buddy, let's go with the surprise.
Okay.
So,
unreal.
One of the things, and I think I discussed this on a recent ep where I talked about the Steam NextFest demos I played. One of the things I love the most about owning a PC
is that
you don't own a PC, and I get to play games that you are really excited about but have not come to any of the platforms you own yet. So last night, Levins, I decided to splash a bit of money out, about $14.50 Australian.
Sheesh, slow down.
And play Elekhead.
Oh, no way. Sick. So this is a game that was in the Asobu showcase.
Yep.
No, was it? Yeah. It was in E3. I'm trying to remember everything I can remember before you tell a definitive version of what it actually is. You play a robot with a magnetic head, and you can take your head off and solve puzzles by taking your head off and like triggering stuff with the magnets, or like bringing things from the top of the screen down to the bottom. I don't know, like fun shit like that. Wait, you're not magnetic. You're electric. You're electrohead. Yes. Electricity, not magnets. Yeah. Magnets are stupid. No. Leave them in the past. Maghead. This is it's all about electricity.
Yeah, so you were right. You play a little robot that anything the robot touches becomes electrified. And like you said, you can also you get the ability essentially to remove your head from your body, throw it somewhere, and then your body runs around autonomously from the head, but you have a 10-second timer during which time you need to get your body back to your head or else both of you will explode. So yeah, I picked it up last night. Straight off the bat, it's not a very long game. I played probably about 2 hours last night, a little bit this morning, and I'm up to the last stage. There's six stages. So in that way, it kind of puts me a little bit in mind of like Gata Rabato.
Yep.
Both in that it's like a relatively bite-sized take on a genre. In this instance, puzzle platformer, while Gata Rabato was a Metroidvania. And also in terms of the kind of graphic style. Like, it's got that very kind of retro three colors, I think. You have, you know, black background, and anything that's electrified is yellow. Anything that's not electrified is blue, from memory.
Yeah.
The beginning of the game seems to suggest that there is a story, which is that the power has gone off around the world. And you are apparently on some, like, I think you're on a kind of quest to essentially restore the power again. I haven't reached the end of the game, but maybe it's you become the thing that is powering everything in the world. There is one great moment in between stages where you step onto the floor, which becomes electrified, and there are, like, power line silhouettes next to it. And then in the background, this city gradually becomes electrified and, like, comes back to life again. That's very visually cool. Visual coolness aside, this is a puzzle platformer. Puzzle platformers obviously live and die by the puzzles that they make.
Yep.
My God. Fantastic.
Fuck. God damn it.
Like, it's one of those things where it's like, you have a very, like, it's very simple in that you have a limited series of actions. You can run around the screen. If you touch something, it becomes electrified. You can throw your head somewhere and electrify it. They absolutely juice these things to their limit in terms of, like, you look at something, like, I'm explaining this so poorly, but it's basically that classic iterative puzzle design of, okay, we've taught you a mechanic. Now we've taught you another way that mechanic can be used. Now we've maybe combined the two into a new type of puzzle. Now that puzzle, we're throwing another thing on top of it. So it's you're never thrown into anything that you're like, this is impossible. How do I solve this? You just look at all the stuff you've done before. You experiment a little with the actions that you have. And I'm now up to one that's like, I'm on level the sixth stage now, and I've just hit a puzzle that I'm like, I have no idea how to solve this. There have been previous ones that I've said, I have no idea how to solve this. And then 5 minutes later, I've gone, of course, that's the answer. Like, it has ones that are super red herring-y. Like, why isn't this solution that seems obvious working? Oh, it's because I'm getting lost in the weeds here. And it's actually like a ridiculously simple solution that works, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is one of those games that I'm like, it bums me out that it's only on PC at the moment, because God, I want you to play this. I reckon
want to
this
play
would
it even
hit
more than you want me to play it.
This would hit your game of the year list, I reckon, if you got to have a run at it. It's just so good, so rewarding. I think the bite-sized element you'd really enjoy as well. Like, I'm definitely appreciating the fact of like, hey, I'm almost at the end of this game now. This isn't like some hours long slugfest that I'm trying to work out. It's relatively short and gets to the point, but just does the puzzles so well, and it feels so rewarding when you work it out and make it to the other end of the screen. Essentially, there are collectibles scattered throughout. Like, you can find secret areas where you pick up little, like, I want to say gold. I mean, they're just yellow, but my brain has gone, those are gold, because they're collectibles, but little gold, like, remotes or something. There's 20 to find throughout the game. And, you know, it's funny, in the section I'm currently doing, I found a secret area where it challenges you to pick up as many, because there's gold remotes, there's normal remotes that are used throughout the game to open, like, gates that are shutting you off from the next level. It has a little mini game where it's like, run around this room and collect as many of these remotes as you can within a time frame. And depending on how many you pick up, it unlocks, like, there are 3 gold remotes that you can potentially win based on how well you do. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting kind of like interesting change up of mechanics to include in this game. Not something I've seen thus far. It definitely has a sense of humor about itself. Like, I've reached parts of the game, like in the later stages. There'll be signs in the game that when you stand on the platform connected to the sign, it'll bring up a little bit of pictorial information. Like, that's how they've kind of instructed. Like, when I picked up the head throwing thing, one of those signs is what told me what to do, essentially. But in these later levels, there's been a few instances where I've activated a sign and it just has a little picture of a poop and goes like boop, 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 boop. And I'm like, oh, I've been trolled. This is hilarious.
That's great.
Thanks.
Poop is awesome.
Thanks, developer. Yeah, I just think if you own a PC, definitely give this game a whack. It's
a free demo
cheap
on his Itch store. So you can test it out first.
Yeah, you can give it a try. It is developed by Nama Takahashi,
yep,
who I think is a solo developer, and he says on his itch.io, I develop simple and challenging games, and he has nailed the brief with a Leckhead, in my opinion.
Okay, so some light at the end of the tunnel for me is that Shuhei Yoshida, the ex-president of Sony PlayStation, and now is kind of like the head of like PlayStation Indies, he tweeted, sorry, this is PC only for now, but Leckhead is one of my favorite games of the year. Highly recommended for action puzzle game fans or any game fans for that matter. I wish I could erase my memory and start playing this game again. So hopefully that means he's going to try and bring it to PlayStation, right? But and then Greg Rice, who is the head of PlayStation creators, and he used to be of Double Fine. He's like, yes, it's so great. So a bunch of PlayStation people are playing it and talking about it on Twitter. Hopefully that means they're going to bring it to PlayStation.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, hopefully it makes it before the end of the year. What was born of a like, ha ha ha, fuck you, Levins, I get to play this game now, very swiftly became a, ah, fuck, I really want Levins to play this game. so that's Leckhead. Highly recommend for anyone out there who is rocking a Microsoft Windows machine like myself.
How much Levins, do you reckon I could, like, what's the minimum I could spend on a PC so I could play a game like this?
Oh, you could get like a Chromebook would probably play something like this. Although that's not running Windows, and I don't know if Steam is on Chromebook. You could probably pay less than a grand and get a computer that could play this.
Okay,
buy second hand.
Discord, someone let me know. Email me or Discord. Like, tell me which PC laptop to get, and if the price is right, motherfucker, I'll get it.
Yeah,
I need to play.
No,
this,
Levins,
this
don't
dumb robot.
Don't rob me of my ability to play games you want to play, but
listeners,
can't.
We have one more job to do in this world, and that is rob John of the ability to be able to play anything that I can.
God, you'll be like, you'll have the infinity gauntlet of
yeah. Someone make
platforms.
Fan art of me as Thanos with all of the different consoles on my wrist. Perfect. So it's frog time, bitch. Let's talk about frogs.
Yeah.
Nice and quick. Dojoran is a game that is spelled Dojoran, and it is a extremely precise platforming game in which you play as a little frog. It's this very sweet and simple black and white pixel art. Did you find Celeste challenging? Well, Dojoran will fuck you up even harder. This is kind of closer to, I guess, like almost like Meat Boy, or did you play that game The End Is Nigh?
Maybe. Is that... I think so. No. I played a different one. I'm thinking of a different one. But I know the game you're talking about.
So there are... I want to say there's 20, maybe 30 levels. This was published by Rataleika Games and developed by Nortlander. I don't know anything about Nortlander, but Rataleika appear on the podcast every now and then when we're like, God damn, these guys put out a lot of games.
That's
Brazil.
Right. What have we played recently?
Brazilian studio, Nortlander. Solo game dev studio. So yeah, pretty awesome. So okay, I'm looking, and then there's a an artist.
They just
Meha Murasaki was the main pixel artist working on this.
Right.
But yeah, this is a really, like, you could look at a trailer of this game and you're like, you know everything that this game is. Do you like, you know, extremely tight precise platforming. You either do or you don't. And if you don't, stay the hell away from this game. But if you like it, this game is cheap. It is a very fun distraction, and it gets so fucking hard. I'm like maybe level 12, and like it tells you your total death count as you progress. And I was doing pretty good, like maybe averaging like 2 to 3 deaths at most in the first 10 levels. And then I hit maybe it wasn't even out of 10. Maybe it was like level 8 or 9. And I got over 100 deaths in that one level alone. And then like there are checkpoints in each level. But like sometimes it'll take me like 20 deaths just to get to that one checkpoint. And then that'll take me the half hour that I plan to spend playing Dojoran just doing that one little checkpoint. And then Archie will be like, "Hey, can we play something on Switch now?" And I'll just have to quit the level, and then I know I have to spend another 20 lives getting back to the point that I was already. Lots of fun. But look, this is a great game to have on the back burner as one that you can chip away at in between meatier games, if you are so inclined. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I recommended it a little while ago. And now that it's gotten harder, recommending it a little less, just because it's pretty fucking punishing. But if you are good at precise platformers, I think there is a lot of fun to be had here, and this is not one that you should let escape your radar. Dojoran,
right?
Let's find out what it's on. Dojoran.
Also, if you're huge into all right, nice. if you are heaps into frogs, of course.
Yeah. Oh man. I mean, there should be more frogs in video games, but this is sure. a real good one.
What was that? What was that one you were playing a while ago where you're like a frog with a gun?
Karoblaster. I love Karoblaster. That's one of my favorite games ever. That's by the same guy who did Cave Story. Did you ever play that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that game. That's probably that's my favorite frog game. I think it's on everything. It's definitely on PlayStation and Steam, and it was just put on Switch. What's wrong?
Please, goddamn, buy a PC so you can play. Hold on, let me just look it up. Buy a PC so you can play Frog Detective.
Yes, I really want to play Frog Detective.
In fact, you can play it on Mac.
Oh, cool! I want to play that with the kids for sure.
They will love it.
Okay.
I guarantee.
Love frogs. So that is it for our reviews. It was a very fun run of games. Lots of animals and some robots. Very cool. We have an email address, and we got 2 emails this week, allthesmallgames@gmail.com, if you would like to send us an email. One of the emails, the subject is appreciation. The other one, the subject is Levins is no expert. John, which one would you prefer me to read?
Look, let's start with appreciation. Let's start on a nice bit.
Okay. Hi, guys. This is from Anders. I just wanted to write you an appreciation email just so you know there's someone out here who can't wait for each episode of All the Small Games every week. I'm a stay-at-home father of a 7-month-old in Minnesota, so as you know, life can be monotonous. Some of the few joys I have currently are playing the latest indie games and listening to my favorite podcasts, of which you guys are near the top. I don't have any friends who are obsessed with indie games like me, so I love playing the games you guys are playing and talking at my Bluetooth speaker every week as if you were my real-life friends. My taste in games has things in common with both of you. I share John's love of weird experimental games and roguelikes, and Levins' love of twitchy, challenging pixel art platformers, currently loving Dojoran, thanks to you, and Metroidvanias. So there we go, a bit more Dojoran. Keep frogs on the mind, John. I have a bit of love for the Australian okay. accent as well. My partner is currently watching Offspring for the 8th time in the background. Is that a show, or is she like watching...
Yes.
Okay, I thought it was like an unrelated...
Just live concerts.
Just watching The Offspring. Fucking, what's your favorite Offspring song, John?
My brain is like, the only Offspring song you can remember right now is Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
No, that's definitely not it. Self-Esteem is the correct answer. Self-Esteem is like a 10 out of 10 banger. I reckon one of my favorite karaoke songs of all time. So keep it up, guys. Also, if you haven't played it already, I'd recommend Karoblaster. He says best played on phone, which is definitely not true. From the guy who made Cave Story, one of my all-time favorite games. More of 11's game, to be sure. Absolutely was 11's game. Played it on Switch. Switch port fucking rocks. So, so good. I remember, John, you played it, and you're like, yeah, it's fine. So, definitely more of 11's game. So that is a lovely email from Anders. Thank you, Anders, for a lovely email. And as I mentioned, the only email we got this week. Thanks for listening to all the small games, everyone. No, here we go.
Do it. Do it.
Jamison sent an email with the subject, Levens is no expert. So obviously I had to stop whatever I was doing and read this email the moment I got the notification. Jamison says, in 1988, Castlevania II: Simon's Quest was released for the NES. It was a 2D platformer with an open world, towns, people, quests, RPG elements, shops, upgradable weapons, and even a day and night cycle. Since this was 3 years before the first sequel to Metroid and 6 years before Super Metroid, I believe Symphony of the Night was a continuation of the groundwork that Capcom built. At any rate, Simon's Quest is often forgotten when people speak of the origin of the genre, which makes old gamers like me wonder about you kids.
Levens, roast his ass.
Nah, that's fine. I mean, like, I think the origins of Metroidvania games are shaky at best. But yes, okay. Look, old person. I know that us little whippersnappers are just out here playing Fortnite and flossing nonstop, and that must enrage you while you try to fucking mow your lawn and play video games at the same time. Or whatever it is old people do. But, dude, Capcom didn't make Castlevania. Konami did. And that makes young gamers like me wonder about you old cunts.
Got him.
Thank you for your email, Jamison. I could not have more respect for anyone saying that I'm no expert in the fucking title of the email. That rules.
Yeah, that was a fun one to get.
Hey, if you want to call me any number of names, you can. allthesmallgames@gmail.com. You can call John names too.
Next email we get is from some toad appreciation society that was like, we heard your latest episode and we'd like you to know that frogs are far worse than toads.
Maybe an actual zookeeper could email me.
Ooh.
And let me know, say, hey, congratulations, you got the job.
Levens is an expert.
allthesmallgames@gmail.com is our email address. And you know what else? Patreon.com/allthesmallgames is how you can support us financially. $5 will get you not just the knowledge that you are supporting two beautiful gentlemen and their quest to play every single indie game in the world. What if that was our quest? God. But you also get access to a bunch of bonus episodes we've done. Some of them are specials on some of our favorite indie games of all time, like Inside or The Stanley Parable or other ones. Bastion.
VVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVV
forward to those. You can find them and many more things, including our other podcast, All the Other Things, which we'll be recording another episode of, I think, next week, at patreon.com/allthesmallgames. And we thank everybody for their support. Plus, you get to join our Discord community, which is a lovely place to hang out. And you get to see me screenshot emails before I read them out on the show and roast them there too.
Yes.
So much to love. Yes. You can also find us at facebook.com/allthesmallgames and on Twitter, we are at allthesmallgame. John is at 16tacos on Twitter and Instagram, and I am at levdog, LEVDOWG. And you can find my other podcasts, Hey Fam and Serious Issues, at sanspantsradio.com.
Great wrap up.
Excellent. John, this was a pleasure, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
What a wonderful episode, and I hope you have an immaculate day too.
Thank you, brother. And wish everyone a lovely week, and we'll see you next week. I should let everyone know that the insane schedule that All the Small Games has been keeping will hopefully return to a more consistent day release. I've suffered through 14 weeks of homeschooling, and John had a baby. So it's been a very, very tough couple of months getting episodes to all my podcasts together. But it also was a lovely thing to look forward to each week. But I have the house to myself for starting next week, because my kids are going back to school. And so I'll be able to record Mondays again and hopefully upload on Mondays as well. So look forward to that potentially being the day for All the Small Games. But hey, no promises, man. It's a wild world out there.
Yeah. Any moment, fucking Sigma strain could come along.
Yeah. And
Omega strain. Levins could have two more kids.
Or
I could
moose,
have three more kids.
A moose could trample your ribs.
These things happen. Hard to put a podcast together with broken ribs.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Hey! Yes, 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 yes. It's Friday night. Let's have a card and be a loose in the tie. Yes, 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 yes. It's Friday night. Put on a sundown pink on a change. After hours. La, 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 la. Summer. La, 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 la. Kevin. La, 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 la. La, 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 la. Late in the month, it's too early. Too early. Join the crowd on business street. Business street.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.